The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome all of you back. And in my many years of covering college football, rarely have I run into someone quite like our next guest. Not only is he one of the greatest players in SEC and college football history, but one of the all-time personalities. I'm speaking of Takiyo Spikes, the former All-American from Auburn, and of course, a legendary NFL career. And now he's in the podcast business, of course. I mean, who isn't? Takiyo, it's great to see you. How are you?
Paul, I'm doing well, man. Always good to be back, reconnected with you, especially here, listening to you on the SEC Network.
Well, we were together, I think it was a year and a half ago in Atlanta. You were being honored as one of the legends. And I said to somebody, I said, if this guy doesn't make the transition to the media, we are all missing out on something. So hopefully that is in your future. But before we even get to that and a number of questions about college football and where it is, tell us about your award-winning podcast. First of all, how could it be an award-winning podcast if you've never had me as a guest?
Well, Paul, that's the reason why I came on your show today, to call you out and to hold you accountable, because I need you to make an appearance on the Behind the Mask podcast show. And thank you for teeing me up. But it's something that I started a few years ago, and I wanted to be able to create a platform that allows other athletes, celebrities, people of status, including you, Paul, to be able to come on and share their story, share their perspective, and share that without feeling like they're being judged or feel like they're being chastised. And that's what I was able to do.
Well, I will not come on until I have a guarantee from my bosses that nothing I say will be held against me, because I know you, Takiyo, you're liable to get me to say anything about anyone. So speaking of that, let's talk about, we were talking a minute ago to the Ole Miss athletic director about this name, image, and likeness. And I know you didn't play that long ago, and the idea that a player like you with your notoriety coming from nearby Georgia could have made some money at Auburn goes without saying. What are your thoughts on where we are right now and about to be in college football?
I definitely think Pandora's box is about to be open. Actually, it just opened. So now you see all of the case scenarios, all of the many opportunities that it will allow student athletes to be able to capitalize and monetize off of their name and likeness. Do I like it? Absolutely. I love it. You look at the system and you see how the system was broken, meaning these guys being able to bring in so much money, and women, student athletes, bring in so much revenue to these schools. And the only thing that you're going to get back in return is, hey, at least you got a chance to get a degree. Come on, man. That's not economics. That's not modern day economics. So I'm glad it has been addressed. It's still going to require a lot of fine tuning, but I'm pretty sure now, since it's out in the open, you will see a lot of people take advantage of it, and hopefully in good ways.
And Takiyo, on a show like this, we get a lot of calls from people that played 30, 40, 50 years ago, who just don't understand it, who don't really think it's a good idea. Back then, as you know, you grew up following college football in Georgia. You know, you played for your school and whatever happened after that. What would you say to those who played a generation or two before you about keeping an open mind into what is really about to happen?
Paul, you know what? The one thing I always talk about is you have to have some type of awareness in order to change. And awareness is the beginning of change. And so my message to all of the other guys, all of the other women who played who was a student athlete at the time, when you look at this, I think this is groundbreaking. And I think they have to be open and really acceptable towards everything that comes that way, because at the end of the day, you have to look at it from an economic standpoint. And these athletes, student athletes, are bringing in so much revenue, so much revenue. So for me, how can you not be open to the fact that you still have kids put it this way. We saw a couple of years back, I think about Todd Gurley. He was suspended for what, selling his jersey. You see all of these minor infractions that when you look at it, you want to chastise a kid when he comes from areas of neighborhoods that where most people do not want to live. And rightfully so, if you're out there making money off of the name and the likeness of these guys, why not give them a cut? Because they deserve it. And at the end of the day, that's what makes the National Football League so good. That's what makes Alabama so good to this day. If you think Nick Saban would still be preaching defense, 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 compared to the early, say, 2010, 2012, compared to now, if he still preaches that, they would not have won another national championship. The point is, I'm saying is this. He's been able to change with the times, with the type of offense that he's implemented. He understands I have to score points. I have to change with the times. The same difference when you look at student athletes being able to take advantage of their name and likeness and get something other than a promise of saying, you know what, you get an opportunity to earn a degree.
Talking to Takeo Spikes. Takeo, let me bring it a little closer to home. We talked a lot here in the last couple of months about the hiring of Brian Harsin. You know, he seems like he's settling in. We had a guest on yesterday who talked about the type of athlete he's going after, maybe a little different than the Takeo Spikes back in the day, because for whatever reason, Auburn has slipped, and it's not getting the quality of, it's not being able to compete at the moment. It may change tomorrow, but today it's not competing with Georgia and Alabama and LSU. What are your first impressions of the regime change at your alma mater?
Paul, I have to be completely honest with you. When this coaching change took place, I wasn't a big fan of it, not at all. And I felt like it was other guys who I felt like they were deserving as well as far as a strong look. I'm not afraid to say it, Kevin Steele. He went down in a smear campaign. But I think at the end of the day, you know, when you look at it, you have to look at the body of work, what Brian Harsin has been able to not only accomplish, but to take from not only from Arkansas State, but to take to Boise State. You look at the success. And why I ended up liking this decision now is simply because the gap of need that Auburn needs to see from a production standpoint at the quarterback position. Yeah, Bo Nix has not been the player that we all hope we all want him to come. But I think Brian Harsin is the right guy to be able to come in with his background of playing quarterback position and also teaching different techniques that Gus Malzahn did not teach at Auburn, meaning having 12 personnel to come into the game. Now you can get creative. Of course, one running back, two tight ends. You can make that look like a running formation with Tanks Bigsby, which he's going to be an outstanding running back, but it's also going to teach Bo Nix how to take snaps from up under the center, how to read defenses, how to understand coverages, where the weakness of the coverage, and that's the big thing that I really like, is teaching him the progressions and understanding different pass concepts in order to help us get to the next level.
But Takeo, I mean, you mentioned Alabama, and you know what they're doing in recruiting. You know what Georgia's doing in recruiting. This can change quickly with success, but Auburn is behind right now, and, you know, schemes are good. Development is fantastic, but five-star athletes are even better. How does Auburn close that gap?
Well, they're going to have to close the gap by the proof is in the pudding. And like I said earlier, I was not the biggest fan of this hiring, simply because if you're going to make a splash hire in the SEC when it comes to Auburn, the goal is SEC championship game at the minimum. And I didn't feel like this hire made Kirby Smart. I didn't feel like this hire made Nick Saban lose some sleep at night. So how do you curve the gap when it comes to bringing in five-star recruits? Look, the proof is in the pudding. You have to be successful with the little bit that you're giving the guys right now. That means I don't care if you come out straight vanilla. You want to be productive, and you want the guys to take advantage and to be willing and accepting of what you're giving to them by proving that with the results that they're going to give you. And at that point in time, when you can do less with more, meaning I can do more with less, meaning I can do more even though I don't have a five-star guy, now I think that belief will resonate with a lot of kids who are in the South who look at Kirby Smart, who look at a Nick Saban as legend coaches versus looking at Brian Harsin as, well, I heard he was good, but let me do some research and take 2 to 3 pages and make sure I validate that for myself. So at the end of the day, the proof will be in the pudding. He has to have success with the guys that he have on the team. And I think as the season continues to go throughout, I think they will continue to get better and better. And we're hoping that for Bo Nix as well.
Tiki, if I could ask you a question about the NFL before you go. You certainly aren't that far removed from the game, and we are all waiting pretty anxiously to see what happens with Tim Tebow in Jacksonville. And you know, many of your former colleagues have just been you know, extraordinarily negative on this move, thinking that it's just too difficult to pull off it for somebody his age and who hasn't played a competitive down in the National Football League since 2012. What are your thoughts on Tebow coming back?
I share the same sentiments. It's going to be hard, all right? Like, you haven't played a game in over 7-8 years. We don't know how he's going to react. But am I mad at the decision that Urban Meyer decided to connect with Tim Tebow? Absolutely not. You can call it the good old boy system. You can call it being able to network. You can call it being able to utilize your resources. But this is a strict business move, not only for Urban Meyer, but for the Jacksonville Jaguars to be able to sell tickets. It's way bigger than what you think. Now, if I was a player, I would feel a little bit different just because I know it's other guys out there who have been playing the game and who is striving and just been doing whatever they possibly could to get a shot. But you know what? I'm not a player anymore, Paul. So I'm not thinking that way. I am a businessman. I understand why it was done. More than anything, I think it puts a premium on when people get certain positions and whether or not if it's black or white, but I'm speaking more so to the black athletes or people who have the opportunities to have these hierarchy positions, you have to make sure to look back and say, who else can I bring up who has a great resume, who really can fit the gap of need of what I want, and give them an opportunity so their talents can be highlighted and can be shown to make believers out of everybody else. That's what it boils down to, Paul.
Tiki'o Spikes, such a pleasure to see you. Hope to see you soon. Tiki'o, thanks so much for coming by. We really appreciated it.
Thanks, Paul.
You got it. That guy is just fantastic. I appreciate him coming on. We will take a break. I know it's been a while. We've had back-to-back guests, which is unusual, but we had to do it. And now we'll get to your phone calls. Pete Thamel, next hour on the new 12-team college football playoff. Yes, you heard me correctly. That's what Pete's reporting today in Yahoo. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome all of you back here Tuesday afternoon. Rob is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Rob. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you, buddy?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Great. Hey, look, SEC baseball here. We got six teams in Super Regionals, four of them from SEC West. And LSU has coaches retiring. Who's going to replace Maneri? Who do you hear?
I've heard probably the same names you have, and I don't know how accurate they are, but, I mean, I've heard some pretty big names mentioned.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we're going to be able to go looking in the SEC. You know,
I think that would be a pretty good place to start. I mean, I can think of three right off the top of my head that that would go over fairly well, at least two, maybe.
Well, who's your top two?
Well, in deference to two of them that are still coaching, I'd rather not bring them up. But I know the coach at Florida was mentioned last week until his disastrous weekend. I don't know if that's changed his mind or not.
Well, I like Ole Miss.
That's one of the two I'd rather not talk about right now, because I would say he has a pretty strong connection to LSU, wouldn't you?
Well, I think stronger than most people know. Right?
Yeah. But I will tell you this. I mean, if you're looking for a clue, when you start thinking about, and we're talking about Mike Bianco, of course,
right.
You know, his son plays there. If you study what is happening, Ogeron, Louisiana guy, Kim Mulkey, Louisiana guy, Scott Woodward, Louisiana guy, the AD. I see a trend here, don't you?
Well, it looks like they're trying to build the Louisiana brand for sure.
No.
And I think it's a smart move, you know. Whoever takes this job, the cupboards aren't there by any means, you know. We were a very young team this year, and to get to where we are, I think win, lose, or draw, Maneri was awfully proud of it.
I tell you what, Rob, I am so happy for him, regardless of what happens this weekend, because, he's a legendary coach who caught a lot of flack. He embraced it. I remember talking to him about this down there two or three years ago, and he said that's what happens. LSU did quite well with Paul Maneri, he's playing with house money this weekend. This is remarkable. I mean, they were clearly at the bottom of the barrel in terms of teams that got into the NCAA, and who knows whether his announcement influenced somebody on that committee or not, but it doesn't matter now.
No, I think they've earned their stripes this last week.
It would be. The fact that we're even talking about them being two wins away from the College World Series is downright shocking.
People in Vegas who bet against them lost money,
I thought it was a great line where Coach Bianco talked about, he sent out a tweet yesterday saying that mom will be watching her son this weekend. She will not be with him out in Arizona.
Well, you know, mama makes a home happy, you know, so.
Well, yeah, and I would say, not that I'm a handicapper, but I would say Ole Miss has got a pretty good shot at getting to Omaha, so I'm sure she can catch up with him there.
Absolutely, but again, it's just remarkable that this conference, the SEC, man, I mean, it just boggles my mind to think that the SEC has West has four teams in it. And totally, SEC has six.
And Rob, it's interesting. South Carolina and Florida were big favorites to win their regionals too. Or at least Florida was. Florida losing the way it did might be one of the biggest stories of the year, because I remember sitting right here on a cold March day interviewing Kevin O'Sullivan, and do you remember where Florida was ranked at the beginning of the season? Number one in the country, and they had arguably the worst weekend that any preseason number one team ever had. It couldn't have been any worse. But again, that happens in baseball.
No kidding. Well, look, Paul, it's going to be an exciting week and a half.
Can't wait.
Here, so with baseball, but I'm sure Skip Bertman's got some people in mind, and he seems to be able to pull rabbits out of the hat. So I'm looking forward to LSU baseball next year.
Rob, thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, this is a fantastic. I would say the first round, the first weekend of the college baseball tournament is the most bizarre. This is a fun weekend when you got the Super Regionals. I mean, this is just classic. But the first weekend, I mean, some of the stories that developed, I mentioned Florida, South Carolina going down the way they did. The fact that Arkansas was tested, it is a very unpredictable and scary couple of days. Let's get back to the calls and check out J.D., who is in Mississippi. Hello, J.D.
Hey, Mr. Poe, how you doing?
J.D., we're doing well. Thank you for the call. J.D., you there? I don't know what happened to J.D. Let me put him back and try him again. Okay, do you hear me now, J.D.? Apparently not. You never know when technology mixes with thunderstorms, mixes with the sky. Things just don't happen sometimes. Why don't we do this? We've been on a run here for a couple of hours. Let's take a short break. We are coming back. Pete Thamel in the next hour. He broke the story early today that the college football playoff could expand to 12. I know you want to hear what he has to say, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Okay, we are back in Pete Thamel, top of the hour on the latest from the CFP. Let me try this one more time. J.D., are you there now?
Yes, I'm here. We're down here in the woods, Mr.
Okay.
Mr. Paul, and the wind blows. They go out. I apologize.
That's okay.
But, how's your day going with you today?
It's been great. I hope yours has.
Oh, yes, sir. It's wet. Some mama's got me busy today. But, anyhow, 3 years ago, they had everybody, Nick Saban signing up for Social Security and had him pretty well retired. But way Mr. Nick Mims going up there and he keeps enough people, do you see any time? I know he just signed a big contract and all, but I don't see nothing stopping him right now, do you?
No. I think he's already crossed that bridge. And I think you could argue that Nick Saban's recruiting today is better than it's ever been for him, or maybe it's better ever been for anyone. The number of players, I think he's got 9 5-stars committed for the next class. Committed. And I've always offered this caveat. I don't want to use the cliche, well, you never know what's going to happen. What I mean by that is, there can be things that come up that change things. And it doesn't take a lot to totally upset a perfect picture. But right now, you'd have to go out on a limb and predict something getting in the way.
Well, he's been doing a lot of recruiting down here. He recruited a couple of boys down in Loosedale and over in Pascagoula. So, he's really still beating the bushes real hard, and he don't seem like he's slowing down none. And what about the new offensive coordinator we got coming in? What do you think about him?
I like him a lot. We're talking about Bill O'Brien. His credentials are extraordinary. He was the Penn State coach. He was a former Belichick assistant, head coach at the Texans. And you know, I think that's going to really pay dividends for Saban. J.D., you take care of yourself. How about Bill, who is in Virginia? You're on the air. Hello, Bill.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul.
Thank you.
I got a question about this image bit right now from a tax standpoint. Now, you got these young men now that are 18, 19 years old, and they can collect money on their image, say $40,000, $50,000 or something like that, but they're still on their parents' 1040 right there on tax forms. And then now that they're collecting money, they're a professional. And does this make the school now, are they employees of the school? Should the school be handing out W-2 forms to the parents and everything else there for a professional there that's working at the school?
It's a good question, and I'm not a tax attorney, but I would think it would be the responsibility of the individual wage earner, because he's not being paid directly. You could argue this, but he's not being paid directly from the school, so I don't think they would be responsible. I think it would just be like anybody else who starts making money. You are responsible for your income.
Granted, but now an individual going to school is going to school to better himself. We take it
right,
you know, that way right there, and the school's offering that. But now the guy is benefiting because he's going to the school.
Yeah, but you know, Bill, come on. Now I agree with that. It's a confusing argument, but if I went to school on a scholastic scholarship, they were paying everything full ride across the board, and I got a job clerking at some bank, and I made enough money where I would have to file a tax form, then I don't think you could argue that I was an employee of the school, could you?
Well, yes, but having gone through that and worked my way through school and on partial scholarship also, you know, I look at it right now. That scholarship offer and everything else gave me a chance to advance and get an education or
sure,
a degree or a couple of degrees. And you know, everybody's got their opportunity. Now, a lot of these young athletes blow that opportunity, and you can almost tell them when you sign them right off the bat. They're looking for the NFL or the NBA right off the bat, and that's all they're interested in. And the college is just a catalyst for them.
Well, in all fairness, Bill, if I went to school and I was the best linebacker in high school and projected to be the best in college, and I could make millions of dollars, I would probably weigh that a little bit more seriously, or the gravity of that would be broader to me than my liberal arts curriculum.
It'd be interesting.
I say that as someone who took liberal arts. I feel like, hey, you know, I hear you loud and clear, and you make a lot of points, and you did it your way, and I'm glad you did. You made a lot out of yourself with a couple of degrees, but you know, these guys ultimately, these men and women ultimately choose their own path, and you know, if you're Zion Williamson, and you come out of South Carolina, and you go play at Duke for 1 year, I sincerely doubt he cares where the library is when he knows at the end of that 1 year, he's liable to make 20 or 30 or $50 million, depending on his agreement with the school, with the NBA club, and the real money, which would be in the endorsements. I mean, I remember sitting in the studio here, what was it, 4 years ago with Ben Simmons? He was here for media days, and I kept thinking to myself, this guy will certainly not be here a year from now. And you know, the second the season ended for his LSU Tigers, he was gone. And why shouldn't he have been? Was he going to go hang out at a chemistry lab late in the afternoon when he's about to clock $50 million a year? I'm not against education. It helped give me everything I have. But I also had no other talent. Thank you for the call. Let's Let's check out Jerry, who is in Georgia. Hello, Jerry. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for keeping the pot stirred. I just got two questions for you. Did I not hear someone yesterday say that Georgia's going to win it all this year?
I have heard that a few times. Yes, there is certainly some enthusiasm developing for the Dogs.
Well, what's it been? 30 years since they won one.
Jerry, it's only been 40. So, but who's counting?
Okay.
1980 for those youngsters out there that were born. Well, I mean, if you were born in 1980, you really aren't even a youngster any longer. But it's January 1st, 1981 is when the Dogs beat Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl and won the national championship.
Okay, I remember that. I'm an old man, too. I got one more thing I want to talk to you about, Paul.
Okay.
You know, the winningest team in college in Division I is Michigan. So please don't say nothing else about them replacing Jim Harbaugh, because as long as he's there, we're assured of 3 or 4 games on them every year. But I'm a Tide fan, and I want to see the Tides catch them.
Well, at this rate, liable to happen pretty soon. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And Bud is up next in New Mexico. Hello, Bud.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Paul, how are you?
Well, thanks a lot.
Well, I just wanted to send out, I'm sure you're aware that the former Razorback track and field coach, John McDonald, passed away yesterday. His numbers are unprecedented, you know, in 83 titles, 37 in the Southwest Conference, 46 in the SEC, and consecutive championships in cross country, indoor and outdoor. Anyway, he transformed track and field at the university, and you know, he passed away yesterday at 82, and Arkansas has continued the tradition of excellence in track and field that he established.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, and I briefly mentioned to somebody earlier, first time I'd been there before, but the first time I went to do a show at Arkansas, it was raining one day, and we had to go inside, and I ended up doing the show from the basement of Bud Walton. And before the show, we were just walking around, and I started running into these track and cross-country trophies. And I asked someone from the university, and I mean, I had heard Coach's name, but and he started telling me and taking me through, and I literally lost my breath just thinking about and hearing about what Coach McDonald had accomplished. I'm sad to say that we probably have never given him enough credit. He's certainly deserving of everything and more, but what a career, what a life, and what an impression that he left on so many people.
Yes. Yes. And it just was not just bound to the Southwest Conference either. So it was everywhere he went. And of course, now the women's track has been even more successful than the men's, but the men's is still kind of hanging in there. But you know, he certainly laid the groundwork that has continued.
To think about 12 straight indoor titles. I mean, of all the things that can go wrong, and the teams that can, and the schools that can compete with you, that's all of this is extraordinary. But I'm so glad that you brought it up, and I'm almost squeamish about not having paid more attention to it earlier, but I'm glad you mentioned it. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Pete Thamel coming up here in a few minutes about what the new CFP could look like. It's pretty staggering.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome all of you back, and let's continue with more phone calls here. And how about Jim who is in Alabama. Hello, Jim.
Oh, Paul. I'm excited to talk to you.
Thank you.
I haven't spent a lot of time in my life listening to you, but I've been busy, I guess, but now I've got a lot of time, an old retired man.
Well, thank you. I'm
but
glad
anyway,
you found us.
My subject, and let me say this before I get on my subject. You had to grow on me. You have real talents and a tough subject to deal with, and I just think you're smart and very talented and do a very good job.
Thank you. And
you can say thank me, and I'm ready to go right on and tell you why I call.
Please do.
All right. The idea that we discussed and hearing the people's having some conversation with you about the payment of our professional players. Our ball players, they're professionals, but don't get paid, so now we're going to make professionals out of them. The thing it seems to be, I'd like to hear more talk about, is the fact that it's still team sports that we're talking about. And I don't understand how the star and the man that is helping him being a star is not being part of the discussion. And if it's not going to be a part of the discussion, somebody ought to talk about a union, ability to form a union, because that would be unfair if it's not part of the discussion somewhere when this takes place. And and that really kind of sums up the purpose of my call. And I'm, to me, being an old management man, it may be odd that I talk about we need a union, but something is be needed there.
I bet you never thought you would say that.
I'm gonna hang up and listen to you.
Well, thank you, Jim. Yeah, when a management man's talking about forming a union, you know the world's upside down. Everything you said is fair, and I don't really know how to answer your question other than to say that this is the first time out, and I think they will realize mistakes very quickly. And we heard Jim Caval say earlier, and Keith Carter, the athletic director at Ole Miss, that at some point you have to readdress these issues. But there's been such a demand and really such incompetence by the NCAA to work through this, where years ago they could have sat down and found an equitable way of dealing with it, but they kept saying they wouldn't do it, and they weren't going to do it, and times changed. Thank you for the call, though. Very, very interesting. Judge Chris is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Judge. If I can get you back on the, I don't know how I'm gonna, something's not working here. There we go. Okay, go ahead,
can
Judge.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Hello,
now.
Paul. Good afternoon. This is it's good to hear your voice.
Thank
it's
you.
Also good to listen to you. Very informed callers. I really enjoy listening.
Thank you.
Couple things I wanted to bring. What do you think that the value of one national championship in college football is? And there's a reason I'm asking that.
The value of a national championship?
Yeah. In college football.
Well, I think it's the ultimate value. I think that's it helps create identity. I think it helps create worth, and I don't think there's anything quite like it.
Right. The reason I threw that out there, you could probably calculate some dollar value, was worth more than that. I think Alabama made a masterful move in extending Coach Saban's contract. I believe that they have one additional national championship because of him, and that was the decisions he made, the onside kick in the first Clemson-Alabama matchup.
Absolutely,
way he
absolutely.
Got O.J. Howard, the scores tied 24-24. Clemson had almost 600 yards of offense in that game, and yet Coach Saban made the call right at the right time, plus made the decision. Obviously had the strategy to get O.J. Howard open 3 or 4 times, just uncovered.
No, Chris, I would say that was the best coaching I've seen of him during his tenure. I hate to run. We're up against a break. Pete Thamel joining us shortly.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.